Follow Mooney Goes Wild on Twitter
at NatureRTE.
Now, we're still in that time of year when there's a baby bonanza in the wildlife world. Fledgling birds are learning to fly and fend for themselves. Newly born hedgehogs, or hoglets, as they're known, are beginning to venture out as their mothers go in search of water and food. But with all this extra activity comes an increased risk to safety. And for this reason, this is also sadly known as the orphan season. On our roads, we see a steep rise in the number of wildlife casualties. But what would you do if you came across an injured animal or bird? Well, you could call your local vet or seek advice from the ISPCA or a wildlife ranger, or you could bring the creature to a dedicated rehabilitation organisation such as the Kildare Animal Foundation. Situated just outside of Kildare town and up and running for more than 20 years now, the foundation treats a variety of injured and abandoned animals, which are found not only within the county but all over the country. Recently, our reporter Terry Flanagan headed down to see the work that's being carried out there. Dan Donaher, who's a wildlife rehabilitator, was on hand to meet and greet him.
You're very welcome, Terry.
Oh my God.
Huh? Come on in here.
They're the guard dogs, are they?
They are the.
Oh, okay. So this is the recovery room, is that it?
It is indeed. This is where all our patients come first. They get assessed in here. Then we get start them on medication and fluids and stuff. And they're in here then until we feel that they're doing much better.
Okay, let's have a little look around then. What I'm seeing here is lots of cages here, bird cages up here on the top, on the bottom. I see two lovely little bunny rabbits. They're surely not wild rabbits, are they?
They're not wild rabbits, but somebody dumped them in the wild, so someone gave us a call.
Right.
And we're looking after them. We will rehome these, but it's just quiet in here for them. So.
And looking over here, you've got what looks like an incubator.
Yeah, so this is one of the many incubators we have here, Terry, and there's a small hedgehog in here. And he's only weighs 400 grams, so he's really right. Underweight.
Oh, there he is. He's actually asleep, is he?
He's after being out a little while ago. You can see his nose going there.
Yeah. What do you mean out? You had him outside?
No, I had him out. Look, he'd given him medication. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, and
right.
Then we put him back in the incubator just to keep him warm.
So he's been in the incubator now for how long?
He's been here about 2 weeks now. So
right.
He was really underweight and dehydrated. That's,
right, well, let's have a look over here because one thing I know that you have is you have a lot of birds, but the birds that you seem to be getting an awful lot of lately are the buzzards.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of buzzards in. At the moment, we have 7 buzzards.
7?
Yeah, so and we've had maybe another 15 over the since January. So
that's quite a huge number of buzzards, isn't it?
It's a lot, yeah. Unfortunately, a lot of them are either from poisoning or being shot. So we've 3 here at the moment that have been in because of shotguns.
Who do you think are shooting these? Is it deliberate or is it just accidental? It's hardly accidental.
It's not. No, I don't think it's accidental. It's probably deliberate. There's so much false press out there about buzzards, you know, coming and killing lambs and stuff. So we think, obviously, lamb season starts in January, so it could be coincide with that.
Right. And they look in fair fettle there. I don't go too near them because they're a bit nervy, are they?
Yeah, they get stressed out if they're not, you know, they don't, usually only one person in here at a time. So, you know, they do settle down. But they're in good form now. They've been here for a good few weeks. So they've had all their treatments and stuff. So they're ready now to go out to an aviary and we can see how their wings are recovering then.
Oh, so before you let them go, you'll actually put them into an aviary and let them practice the flying then?
Yeah, all our animals have to go outside to get acclimatised again.
Right.
The weather and temperatures and that, and also to make sure that they are flying or running free and stuff like before we just let them out.
They're a really big bird, aren't they?
They are. They're lovely.
Look at that lad there. Look, he's just watching us.
Just watching. They have huge eyes and they're always watching what's going on.
And the one on the bottom there, he seems to be much more nervous.
He is, yes. So he was here the least, so he's not used to the whole routine, so he's kind of just... But he's knocking against the cage there and that. But we cover him over with towels so to minimise them.
And this one here on the left, he looks very kind of docile.
Yeah, he only came in on yesterday. So he was maybe hit a tree or a building or something. We're not quite sure. So he's off his legs at the moment.
And where have they come from? Are they all from the locality around County Kildare?
No, they've come some are from Kildare, Laois, Dublin, and the newest one is from Meath.
Yeah, when I think of buzzards, I think of the East Coast. Somewhere if you're driving from Dublin up to Dundalk or that's where you tend to see them. But they seem to be coming further and further south, and now they seem to be moving inland.
They are, yeah. No, we've got reports of buzzards nearly every county now, so they're doing really well.
Now, I'm looking here in this cage here just in front of me as well. I see a wood pigeon.
This guy was...
Oh, he's no tail.
He's no tail. Actually, he was. He fell down a chimney at the weekend.
Right.
And the fire, someone had their fire on and he burnt his feathers.
Oh.
So thankfully, they were able to get him out quickly and put out the flames. And then they gave us a call and we were able to get a volunteer to call out and pick him up. So he's doing really well. And we were afraid of smoke inhalation, we have him on medication now and he seems to be doing well.
Now, you mentioned volunteers. How many volunteers have you here in the foundation?
At the shelter, we usually have 3 to 4 a day. And then we have a wider network of transporters, rehabbers and rescuers. And there's about 60 of those on our WhatsApp group.
It's a big organisation here and it's a big operation and you've lots of animals. Start off with the number of animals that you have, say, today.
So today we currently have 140 animals.
140 animals?
Yeah, and that's wildlife, cats, dogs, and we have some sheep and goats as well.
Tell us what wildlife is here at the moment.
So we've lots of wildlife at the minute. We've 44 wildlife patients in currently.
44?
Yeah. Period, that probably will double in the next month.
What's the most common animal that you get in?
I suppose in orphanage we get lots of pigeons, small garden birds, foxes is quite, we get a lot of those, get a lot of hedgehogs, but pigeons, gulls, foxes are probably our main creatures we get.
Do you have a favourite animal that you like looking after?
Not really. I love badgers. Badgers, I do love looking after them, but they're all my favourite. I look after them all.
And the pleasure I'm sure you get when you release them is fantastic.
It is. Releasing them is what we're here for, and that's our main aim. You know, when they come in, that's what we looked. That's what the whole goal is.
It's so the bottom line.
It is, yeah, exactly. So when we get to see them, we might get attached to them, you know, but we love to see them running off and or flying off, and it's a great feeling.
Now, with that number of animals in here, and I know it's extremely intense, it must be very expensive. What are you talking about to run an organisation like this?
I don't do the figures, thankfully, but Charlene looks after that. But yeah, it's a quite an expensive operation.
It's thousands of euros per week, I'm sure.
It would be, yeah. And then there's lighting and heating and all sorts. And that doubles again during the orphan season. So it's a big pressure on us. And thankfully, we have volunteers to go out and do shows for us and help raise money.
I was going to ask you that. Where does the money come from?
Yeah, so it's people giving up their weekends, going out to different events and they'll set up stalls. And we've lovely people that donate regularly every month to direct debit. We hold raffles. We have our open day here every year, which is a huge success, and it's a brilliant day for the family, and that's held in July. So it's tough, but we have lots of people that will go out and try and help us.
Well, that's great. And people are wondering, listeners are wondering, what all that noise is in the background? That's a buzzard.
That's a buzzard, yeah. That's
he's trying to get out.
He's trying to get out, yeah. So
it must be near time for him to go.
It is. We're going to put him in the air. He's to get a vet check in the morning.
Right.
And once he gets that, he'll be able to go out into the aviary.
Yeah. I suppose it's not very natural for them, first of all, to be cooped up indoors and then hearing us here quite very close to them. But in fact, they're covered, they can't actually see us.
They can't actually see us, no, just hearing us now. But a lot of the animals, thankfully, aren't that stressed when they come in.
Yeah.
They're on medication and you know, the lights are off normally and it's quiet. So thankfully, we don't get too many animals that are too stressed.
And as you said, the best part of this job is the release. So when are you hoping to have a release of these buzzards?
We're hoping to have our next buzzard for release should be in about 2 weeks' time.
Right.
Yeah.
So where will that be?
So that's going to be up in Dublin. It was found in North County Dublin. So we're going to, we always try and bring our animals back to where they were found. Orphans, sometimes that is not possible, so we have to pick a suitable release site for them.
Right.
But all the adults, we do get back to where they come from.
Right. So North County Dublin is where this buzzard is going to go.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll be there.
Brilliant.
It's now 3.5 weeks since I was down in the Kildare Animal Foundation down in Kildare Town, and I've moved up to North County Dublin like I said I would, and I'm here with Aideen McGee. Aideen, you're a rehabilitator as well, and it's your job today to release this buzzard that we looked at a couple of weeks ago.
It,
so you get the good job.
I do, Terry, absolutely. Yeah. This is the culmination of all the hard work over the last number of weeks. So yeah, this is the most exciting part of it for us, and it's just wonderful to see this bird going back to where he belongs.
Tell us a little bit about the bird.
Sure. He was actually picked up in North County Dublin a couple of months back, and he came in with a slight fracture to his right wing. He's a juvenile, one of last year's birds, and we think he probably maybe had been clipped by a car. It would be one of the most common mechanisms of injury that we see, with a motorway close by as well. A lot of the time buzzards will scavenge on roadkill, etc., so we think that's most likely what happened to him.
Now, you like to go back to the original place where the bird came from. That's why we're here.
Yes, we do indeed. As long as the location of the bird was found in was actually suitable for re-release, basically that's where we will always go back to if we can. For any animal that's in our care, we try to go back to the original location if possible.
Now, you're not on your own, because Chris is over there. He's about 3 metres away and he's with the bird in the box. Explain what's going to happen.
I will indeed. The bird is actually in a bird of prey box, which is a large wooden box that is completely contained and completely dark. So Chris is just about now to open the box. He has a GoPro camera set up. We try to record releases as much as we can so that we can post them onto our Facebook page. We really like people to see the work that we're doing and to see, again, the culmination of the hard work. So Chris is just about to open the door on the box, and the buzzards should come out pretty, without very much delay, really. These guys are
just opening the box there. Oh, look, he's gone immediately.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Taking off, no hesitation. He's been flapping around in the box for the last 20 minutes.
He's flying into the wind.
He is indeed.
And he's gone over that hedge. We've lost sight of him already.
Yeah, that's it. The releases are very exciting but very brief, so right. Which is wonderful, and that again is our job done now at this stage. That bird is back where he belongs.
Isn't it amazing to think that you've had that bird now for well over a month, and within 5 seconds he's gone?
Yeah, he's gone, that's it. But there are plenty more where he came from, Terry, so we'll be kept busy.
You mentioned many more, because when I was down there were 7 buzzards in that time.
Yeah.
They seem to be on the increase.
They do, thankfully. Over the last number of years their numbers have really picked up, and actually from Louth right down along the motorways, in particular the N2 and the N3 right down as far as Dublin, their numbers are really on the up, and out around the airport you see them quite a lot as well.
Let's call in Chris, because Chris, your job is over now. A good day's work.
As Aideen said, it's the best part of the work, really, and it's great to see these birds back where they belong, flying around and back hunting.
Tell me a little bit about your involvement.
I moved to Ireland with my wife in August last year. We moved from Africa. I was doing some work with wildlife conservation there, and I wanted to get involved again with wildlife conservation, and I sent some emails out, got in contact with Wildlife Rehabilitation Ireland and also with the Kildare Animal Foundation, and offered to volunteer, and they thankfully snapped me up.
Now, when you're talking about wildlife rehabilitation, it's a different kind of wildlife than you would have in Africa.
But the challenge is exactly the same. We've still got problems with humans causing difficulty for them, loss of habitat. There is some poaching of animals in Ireland, sadly, but also animals getting poisoned because of the way that we deal with rodents and pests. So the similar problems, for sure. The animals might look different, but the problems are exactly the same.
Aideen, this buzzard that's after going today, what's his chances?
He has as much of a chance now as every other buzzard.
But the numbers are growing considerably in this part of the country, so that means competition must be increasing.
Competition is increasing, but they're also spreading further and further afield now as well. So as their numbers increase, we are seeing them further afield, so I think they will go where the food is available.
And what food is that?
They prey on pigeons, they prey on smaller birds, they will scavenge, so mentioned roadkill. And again, unfortunately, roadkill is quite an issue, because while they're scavenging the roadkill, they obviously are putting themselves in grave danger as well. So,
and that's probably why you get so many of them, isn't it?
Yes, it is. A lot of the buzzards we get would come from motorways or nearby motorways.
I suppose this must be the busiest time of the year for you.
It is indeed, Terry. We're what we call orphan season now, which really goes from the beginning of March right until the end of September. Chris actually picked up a tiny baby robin on the way here today, so he'll come home with me now, and he literally is a nestling, means that he has absolutely no feathers. He's only newly hatched out.
So it's really like a conveyor belt. You've gotten rid of some today, but you're also taking in other ones.
Basically, as soon as something is released, we get something else coming in. So yeah, we are really putting a pin of our collar in terms of busyness, and thankfully we have a very large team of transporters, of rehabilitators, of people who are working with us, all on a voluntary basis, who all play their part and do a little bit to help out, which is just wonderful and makes our job doable, basically.
Now, finally, you didn't tag that bird. Do you tag any of the animals that you release just to see how they do?
We actually got a cuckoo a couple of years back. Most unusual. We hardly ever get cuckoos in, so he was ringed and released. So if he turns up at some point in the future, we will be able to look basically at his background and where he's come from.
Now, GPS and all this technology, it's reducing in price considerably. You wouldn't think of putting something like that onto a bird or a badger or a fox or whatever?
We certainly will as soon as we have any spare money at all. We're a voluntary agency, and again, with the volume of animals we have coming through, pretty much all of our resources and our funds go into our medical bills, food for our animals, appropriate housing for our animals. You know, GPS tracking it's a luxury for us at the moment, and yes, simply we definitely aspire to it, but for the minute it's not practical for most of the casualties that we're dealing with.
Well, I suppose that it's only right that all the money goes on the animals themselves.
Absolutely, 100%, and every single penny that comes in that we fundraise all goes straight back into the care of the animals. And the public really do care, and thankfully the public are behind wildlife. The vast majority of the time, people really do help out where they can.
Well, it's great to see such a good news story today, to see that buzzard take off and fly off there into the wind, disappear then into the wild. I suppose it's time for you now to get back and look after the rest of them.
Well, it is, yeah. We have that little tiny nestling in the car. We fed him just before we got out of the car. He's due another feed now. Nestlings need to be fed roughly every half hour, every 45 minutes. But all baby birds sleep for a full 8 hours every night, which is great. It just wouldn't be doable otherwise. And we have lots more pigeons at home. We have more corvids, so a whole range. So, yeah, busy times. So the release is a high point in the day, and then back to the more mundane but equally enjoyable work as well.
Wildlife rehabilitator Aideen McGee ending that report from Terry Flanagan, which also featured Dan Donaher and Chris Budapech. Thank you to all of our guests this week, including Philip McCabe, Richard Collins and Eddie Nilana, to our broadcast coordinator Sinead Renshaw, our researchers John Riley and Elaine Carraher. On sound we had Sheila Neveal, and today's producer was Sheila O'Callaghan. Until next week, goodbye.
Follow us on Facebook, RTE Nature.
Mooney Goes Wild on RTE Radio 1.